Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to a special Wednesday edition of The Conversation. Happy belated Treason Day to all you ungrateful columnists from the 13 colonies. Reenactor friend had a British flag with that on there, but peed my pants. This Wednesday on The Conversation, the Republic of Korea says the DPRK is testing ballistic missiles. They have test fired more. What is Trump's response? I'll get into that. Something has to be done. I don't understand this investigation. Tom Fenton, you know, president of the Judicial Watch, is there and says there are constitutional questions that must be answered about this investigation. Like, they keep going on, and it's wasting money. Ridiculous, but something's got to be done. Also in Florida, a hot air balloon lands in a gator infested pond after the pilot with like 16 or so passengers, you know, because of the wind, there's no way to really, I think with a hot air balloon they should have like a fan somehow so that they can try to move the thing to help it if the wind's not right, so that, and it landed in there. And that's not the funniest part. A boy was rushed to the hospital because he swallowed pond water. I'm assuming that there's something majorly wrong with this pond. I don't know, because we grew up eating mud pies. I'll get into that and some things that could happen. Also, the Florida Stand Your Ground Rule law considered unconstitutional by a judge. And it seems to be a never-ending battle. I want to get into that. Also, Kellyanne Conway said that there will be a new health care bill. We are confident that the president will have a bill on his desk by this summer. I mean, how? Okay. Barack Obama was in office 8 years, and they had all that time to put a health care bill together to say, here you go. This is our plan, but it doesn't really matter, because no matter what the Republicans put together, no Democrats going to support it, one. And two, why do they care? Not one congressman or senator has to use Obamacare, or had to use it. Nancy Pelosi was handing out vouchers left and right to her friends so that they didn't have to use it. Here's your vouchers. You don't have to use it. I mean, it's so great, you know. I was hoping to be pissed off because, hey, they have all these vouchers that lets them get first dibs. That there is also so much more. So I want to thank you for tuning into the conversation that you're a part of. Jeremiah 17:10. But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Think about that as you're going through your day-to-day and finishing up. And thank you for tuning in to the conversation that you're a part of. And there was a picture also my friend had of the Queen of England, and it had her all with this pissed off face, and it goes, Happy Treason Day, peasants. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, that's funny. And of course, someone's probably got a head up their butt. You know, someone's probably like, what do? I'm offended by that. I'm offended. You know, grow a pair. I mean, there's a Florida woman who is getting death threats because she pissed on the American flag. Okay. The Constitution. You have freedom in this country. But the freedom doesn't guarantee you the right to just burn the American flag. It's kind of like saying, okay, well, I'm going to go take a gun and I'm going to shoot that guy that's giving me the freedom to do what I want. Hey, because then what's going to happen? Because someone else might come up and say, hey, you're not going to have freedom. I disagreed with Barack Obama. But you know what? I had an American flag. I ain't going to burn it. I'm not going to piss on a flag. I'm not going to step on it. I'm not going to burn it. You know, where do people get off? I mean, yeah, we have freedom. But the freedom doesn't guarantee you the right to just piss on the flag or burn it or stomp on it or do whatever. Well, guess what? This guy gives me the freedom, you know, to do what I want to do. So since he's doing that, I'm just going to shoot the guy because I have the freedom to shoot the guy that's giving me the freedom. I don't get it. And it's nice, my producer just walked into the studio, the greatest lady in the whole wide room. I love her to death. God bless her. But it's, I don't understand why people, I have freedom, so I'm just going to burn the very thing that gives me the right to have freedom. You know, it'd be like going in the African jungle and you want to go down this river and the guy says, oh, we're not, you don't want to go down that river. And you say, well, I want to have the freedom to go down that river, so I'm going to kill that guy and we're going to go down that river anyways. Okay, if you're not from there, there's probably a reason why that guy doesn't want you to go down that river. I mean, I'm just speculating, but okay. I'm just speculating here, folks. But what do I know? I mean, I don't understand this because, you know, Tom Fenton, the president of the Judicial Watch, said that there are constitutional questions that must be answered about the investigation of Donald J. Trump because we're wasting money on it. And if you can't actually say, okay, here is some actual hardcore evidence right here that says this is why we're investigating it, because we have stuff that has to be looked into. I guess I kind of look at it like an attorney, okay? Well, folks, I know my neighbor. He's gonna do stuff. I know my neighbor's going to do some things. Well, until he does something, I can't do anything. Until you got some evidence that, yeah, there's some collusion here and we got some proof, you can't. We got to have some oversight over this. We're going to do the investigation of the investigation about the investigation. So we're paying this guy to investigate the investigator of the investigation to try to find out what's going on with, because, I mean, we don't have any proof. There's nothing there, but, you know, Trump had to have had help from Russia to win the election. He had to have, even though we have all this proof that Hillary Clinton did all this crap. You know, I mean, I got to give a 420 up to Las Vegas because at least they can cope with this by just going to the local shop now. Thank God, I need a pound of I got Ziggy Marley's coming in, so, you know, we need some stuff, whatever, you know, hook it up. And I guess a lady, when they first legalized it, I guess she went to a shop and waited so long in line that it ran out. So she had to get in line at another shop. But I guess it's the fastest turnaround from legalizing it to having it actually, the shops opening and everything. So, hey, it's just another place you can go on vacation. You know, you can go to Alaska, you can go to Washington State, Colorado, Las Vegas. And that's what they're probably thinking. Oh, let's get them half-baked and then have them go lose money on the casino floor. That's what they're probably thinking.
Yeah,
drunk can do it. I know. I'd be thinking, I say, well, so I'm not coming in your casino. if I go to your casino, then that's going to be money I can go spend at the shop there, you know? I need to take back about 40 pounds. But that's just how it is. I'm going to see if I can bring this up, because this is an awesome story. Sam Crane, God bless you, my friend, a World War II veteran who had his medals restored to him in a 4th of July ceremony. This, I couldn't even read. This is just the tearjerker. It's really short, but just, you know. It was a touching scene on the annual 4th of July blast at the Jacobs Community Park earlier today, which would have been yesterday, when a World War II veteran had lost his medals. He got them restored in a special ceremony. Sam Crane, who served as a private first class with the F Company 113th Cavalry, he basically, during the campaign, he was in Normandy in Africa and northern France and Rhineland campaign, earned an American Theater Service Medal, a Victory Medal, a European, African, and Middle Eastern Campaign Medal, and a Good Conduct Medal, in addition to a Purple Heart, as he was awarded after being wounded in Holland. But those medals and his Purple Heart certificate were destroyed in a fire at his Loganville home years after his service had ended. And they had a huge ceremony for him, and he got the medals back. So it was just really awesome to see someone that did so much for this country, and he was in tears, you know, thinking that, you know, he'd never have these awards again, and what he did for his country, and he just kind of did what he did. He didn't, wasn't about me. It was about, I'm here for my country. I'm doing this for my country. You know, he was very selfish. And anyways, I wish we had more people like that. But I think it was that old 60s show, Dragnet, where the guy's going, you know, he goes, you guys live in an instant world with instant coffee and instant entertainment and instant this. And, you know, you didn't have to do it. People are just, I don't know. I guess they're just like, everything's, they're expected to have stuff handed to them. Well, guess what? Guess how this works in this world. You know what? If I get in trouble, guess what I get to do? I get to call my parents, and they go off on the teachers instead of the other way around. I want to know how that happened. I want to know where people got to the point. Because when I was a kid, you know, if I got in trouble at school, I did everything in my power to handle it myself. Please, whatever you do, don't tell my parents. Don't tell my parents, because they will beat my ass after you do. Because my dad would be like, okay, you look like you're walking with a limp pulled down your pants. If they hit you with a paddle, what did you do? Because I'm going to hit you again. Not now. You hit my son. How dare you? I'm calling an attorney or suing. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Inside Edition. I'm your host, Kyle. And on this episode of Inside Edition, a family sues the school for $800 billion because their son was spanked. When I was a kid, that'd have been like, okay, you got a choice. We got a wooden one with holes, or we have a stainless steel one. Your choice. That's right. That's right, folks. Not now. Mommy, the teacher said I was stupid, and she put me in a corner because I couldn't answer the question, and she put a triangle hat and it said dunce on it. Yes, because you didn't do your homework, you didn't study. Now that stuff would be all over CNN and MSNBC. Parents of child who is atrociously attacked by a teacher because he couldn't answer a question. Lord help you. I remember getting whacked over the knuckles by a nun with a ruler. Boy, have the times changed. But you know what? I mean, but I grew up in kindergarten when in first, second, third, and fourth grades were, okay, if you were 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, the teacher bent you over and spanked you every 10 times if you're 10 years old for on your birthday. And all of us kids are like, I'm 100. Joking, but, you know, now you couldn't even begin to do that. How dare you hit my... That was something fun, that, you know? I don't get it, you know? Now, Melissa never had that experience. But hey. This is an interesting story. Let me see if I can... Where is it? A guy was doing, I guess they do like hot air balloon rides, and they had like 16 people up in the thing. And when they had them up there, these kids, you know, they, because with a hot air balloon, you cannot sit there and control. They go where they go. They go with the wind. They don't have like a blade on them that they can sit there and like a 360 fan that they can, okay, we're going and we're going to get near power lines. We need to turn the fan so we can get away from it. No. In a way, they can maneuver it some, but not enough. Because if the winds are strong enough, they really can't sit there and turn the thing. And that's what happened with this. And they had to go down in the water. And a kid was sent to the hospital because he ingested pond water. I used to eat mud pies as a kid. Now, I do understand... that, like, I know this for a fact because I have wilderness survival training, that if you see a clear, if you're like up in the mountains, or you're walking around and you see a puddle of water, a pond of water that looks crystal clear. Oh, great. Look at that clear water. If it's not moving, there's probably all kinds of deadly bacteria in there. And you can collect that water because it's crystal clear, but you're going to still want to sterilize it somehow, whether it's through like boiling it. You can take it and put a bowl and put it in a big bowl with a smaller bowl inside and put plastic over the top of it so that the water goes up with the hot sun and gets to the top, and then as it condenses to the top, it falls back down and it will fall into that smaller cup, basically distilling it. Like, and you'll have this like a distillated water, which is safe to eat. I mean, drink, not eat. What a long day I've had. But my point is, I could see how there might have been some sort of deadly bacteria in there, and they want to make sure that nothing happens. But I just remember growing up eating mud pies and all kinds of good stuff. But I guess if it's, yeah, but I guess if it's, if it was on like a ship where I guess they didn't, I guess, I don't know if they were paying for it or not, if it's the hot air balloon company's thing, who knows? Because they may have had like an insurance waiver or something they had to sign. But that's how the cookie crumbles. But I don't know. I would do a hot air balloon if it was one of those where it's like attached and you go up like 300 feet or whatever and you look around for like a half an hour or whatever, then you come back down. I could do that because then I know I'm not going to have to worry about like, but then I guess because we, where I work, they did that one time and they're like, well, you guys are late and this and that and all this stuff. And they said, well, what do you know? You got to understand something. Depending on the barometric pressure and different things, it's, you know, they have to weigh all these factors in before they can even, because they could have said, well, because of the wind and the barometric pressure and all this stuff, we can't go up, sorry. And we didn't know that. But when he educated us, I'm like, that's kind of cool. Because I didn't know that. I mean, it's not like they have the hot air balloons filled with hydrogen or anything. They actually use heat and... Yeah. My wife's an expert. Just because they have like a huge race where she's from, so she knows a lot about it. Not that she's an expert. No, but I'd be afraid the basket would come loose and. I mean, when you think about it, when people go climbing, you know, like the antenna towers, and they climb like 1,700 feet to the an antenna tower to like change a light bulb. I mean, that must be funny. That must be fun. You climb all the way up there. Beep. Captain, I dropped the bulb. Okay. You drop? No, the new one. Well, okay. Did you bring two or three? Well, Captain, there's only one light to change. Why would I bring five bulbs? Because in case you drop one. Now we got to go all the way back down to get another light bulb. But you never see them with like a, I would think they would have like a base jump, like a base jumpsuit in case something went wrong. They could at least base jump to safety. Okay, something goes wrong and I fall and my cable doesn't hold me or something rips and the cable snaps. Okay, I can pull the rip cord and I'm at least bungee jumping to safety. Not that you're, I mean, I still think it'd be a faster way down. You know, okay. You have something on the side of the thing, like a cable that you attach your tools to, and it slowly lowers the tools down to the ground, and then you base jump off the thing. But I bet you unions wouldn't allow that. But I mean, if you were trained and you know, I think, because imagine having to go down that thing. I mean, just kind of getting off topic a little bit, but you would think they would have like a, I'm like, why doesn't he have like some sort of like parachute in case something goes wrong, he can at least base jump to safety. But anyway, it's just one of those things I think about.
A parachute wouldn't open in time to even be
effective.
You have to be so far off.
Well, they base jump with them. On antenna towers.
Yeah, you have to be so far up. You're not high enough. It's different from the.
Then I guess I'm looking for what the base jumpers use, because I know base jumpers jump from like 1,700 foot antenna towers, so they must have a different thing than a parachute.
Yeah, it's smaller.
Well, that's basically what I mean. But yeah, but my wife's. I guess a parachute is totally different than what they use to base jump, but the same type of concept. I don't know. I guess, you know, that's how my mom was. Excuse me. She'd be like, if you get sick, we're going to the hospital. Now it's like, okay, well, he drank pond water. Maybe there's stuff in the water now that you would go from being perfectly fine to, you know, keel over and die. I don't know. Who knows? I want to get into this because I got a message for this lady. McKenna Greenwald, this message is for you, dear. Because they're vandalizing Trump's star on the Walk of Fame. And she took pictures and put it on Twitter of herself cleaning the star up. And she's getting all this negative feedback and all this like hateful tweets and all this stuff. And this message is for you, dear. Don't let them get to you. Who cares? It's a word. If they can't deal with the fact that you're doing something good. I could honestly see a conservative cleaning up a star on the Walk of Fame if it was Obama's, if it was defaced. Just because it's the right thing to do. I don't really care for the political views of Sean Penn, but you don't go damaging his Walk of Fame if he's got one star. It's just something you don't do. That's, I don't know. I guess I was brought up and raised with something called, what's that what's that word called? Oh yeah, it's called manners. I guess they don't teach that anymore. Maybe we just need to be like, you know, like other countries, okay? If you vandalize that and we catch it, okay, off goes your hand. You're missing your hand. Well, there you go. Then you did something wrong. No one will go near you. No one will talk to you. Okay, he's missing. And we'll have codes. You know, you miss a pinky, means you're a thief. If you miss two fingers, you're a murderer, whatever. Is that what this country has to get to? I hope not. That people sitting there and vandalizing and tearing up and... just because you don't agree with somebody? I don't get it. I just don't. I just don't get it, folks. But you did the right thing, girl, and stand your ground. And words, granted, the tongue is the strongest muscle in the body because there's no bone, and it can, but you know, don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. I want to get into this because these two stories kind of interact. Florida stand your ground law ruled unconstitutional by judge. Judge in Florida ruled Monday that the state's updated stand your ground law, which required prosecutors to disprove a defendant's self-defense case at pretrial hearings, is unconstitutional, setting up a showdown that will make its way to the state's top court. Miami-Dade Circuit Judge Melton Hirsch ruled that the amendment to the law allowed lawmakers to overstep authority, adding that it should have been crafted by the Florida Supreme Court in the first place. That was from the Miami Herald, was reporting that. As a matter of constitutional separation of powers, that procedure cannot be legislatively modified. And it can't be. The Florida Supreme Court has ruled in 2015 to shift the burden to the defendant, requiring them to prove in a pretrial hearing that they were defending themselves in order to avoid prosecution on charges of a violent act. And that's normally what happens. Okay, if someone comes into my house and I shoot them, I have to prove that I was in fear of my life. And 9 times out of 10, if a guy's in your house and it's 2 in the morning, he let himself in, he broke in, so he's breaking and entering. So you pretty much have a case, you know, hey. And then if he's got a weapon, then you got more of a case, and, you know, and it just goes on and on. And why do I bring this up? Because a Colorado man mistakes son for intruder, shoots and kills him. A Colorado man shoots his son to death Saturday night after allegedly mistaking him for an intruder, police say. Frank Hunter, 58, was arrested by Douglas County deputies on suspicion of second-degree murder and was released after posting $50,000 bond. Investigators say the charges against him could change. According, reporting party says he shot someone who came into his house. Now he's saying it's his son. And he's dead. The dispatcher called during the call, and that's what happened. But, I mean, he's not. He's not denying it. It's not like he tried to. He's like, yes, a guy was in my house. I shot him, and it ended up being my son. You know? Yeah. I remember. Like when I stay at my sister's in Michigan, I've always been told, okay, after this time, no one should be coming to the house. No one should be in the house but us. And when my sister, when my wife was supposed to be working at home health care all night, and I'm like, okay, I'll get food for her and I'll take it. I'll take your car, Lisa. I'm doing this. No. She'll just eat there whenever. Well, they didn't want me to go get something because she was going to come and surprise me. Well, when I'm in the kitchen and someone's coming in the back door, I'm pulling my gun and prepared to assess the situation. And as you heard me say, assess it. See who it is. If I know the person, okay, I stand down. My finger's never on the trigger. It takes, what, like 0.05 seconds to put my finger to the trigger? Yeah, and I have my finger off the trigger, and once I realize it's her, I stand down. You know, that's the thing that it doesn't really get into. Did he try to find out who the guy was, or did he just think and shoot? Because you need to assess the situation and say, okay, is he a threat? Is he not? And that's how you go. And that's how the conversation goes. And it sounds like he just kind of shot first and asked, well, crap, that's my son. Oh, no. But he didn't sit there and say, I'm going to try to cover this up. No, he's like, hey, 911, there was a guy in my house. I shot first, asked questions later, and it ended up being my son. I'm like, and the cops come, and of course he's been arrested, and the charges may change, you know.
They might be looking at and saying, is that true? Or did they have an altercation?
Yeah.
And he full-blooded was killed.
Yeah, and that's what my wife is right on, and I was going to talk about that. That's more than likely what they're trying to do is, did he really think he was an intruder and shot him, or did they get into an altercation and fight and, son, what are you doing out drinking? You know, whatever. And bang. But it's one of those things that, hey. That I couldn't imagine doing that. That's why I always assess the situation first. And that's what I do. About 26 minutes left in the program, folks. And I want to thank you all so much for tuning in, wherever you are around the world, from England to France to America and whatever time you're listening. Because if you're listening on the podcast or the replay of it, you know, it may be in the morning when you're listening. So that's why sometimes when I say, you know, like, I'll say, like, well, thanks for tuning in to the program that you're a part of. Hope, you know, after I give my, think about that as you're going through your day to day, because you may hear my conversation at 6 a.m. when you get up. And that Bible quote stays with you all day. I don't know when you listen to this, if you're not listening live. So that's why I do what I do. Because someone asked me that. He goes, what do you say? Well, you know, think about that as you're going through your day when it's night and you do your show. That is the reason. There is actually a method to my madness. It's not always. It's always, just remember, folks, I'm pulling for you, rolling this together. The EMTs, I love this. This is in Texas because it's hotter than a Dickens in Texas. They finished mowing an elderly lady's lawn as they saw that she was having a hard time doing it and helped her out. A crew of emergency responders went out of their way last week to help an elderly woman who they noticed seemed to be struggling to mow her lawn in the hot Texas sun. According to a neighbor, 98-year-old Margaret Dunham of Waco still regularly performs household chores, but the EMT crew was between calls and saw potential danger and decided to pitch in. That's amazing, because we have people where I work that are that old, that are in the healthcare, and she's actually got a house and she's doing and going. That's just awesome. And I mean, that's just what they do. I mean, imagine what this world would be like if everyone pitched in and everyone did that. And when you're somewhere, you're doing something and you're by yourself, you know, hey, we'll help you out. Because what you find out in life is you're more likely to help out the people that help you out. If my wife's there for me, I'll be there for her. If my wife's going to leave me hanging, then, hey, I'd leave her hanging. No, I wouldn't, but I would just... But that's how this world should work. Unfortunately, most people don't do that. It's kind of like, well, no one helps me, so why would I help you? Well, yeah, that's why. Maybe if you would pitch in, if you can show me we're okay, I've done all this stuff and no one helped me, then... Just one of those things that, you know, give back. Do unto others as you want done to you. If you want to be screwed over, then screw people over, and then they'll screw you over, and there you go. And then don't complain. Don't bitch. Okay? That's how it works. You know, they're just, as emergency responders and healthcare people and working in a continuing care community for 11-plus years, that's what we do. We just help each other. It's just an instant response. I mean, that's why I always tell people, like, if you ever have, like, a butter container that you have, like, food in that your mom gave you, and since she's used it before and it has a date on it from, like, 2 years ago, I might look at that date and say, okay, that says, what, 13, and I'll just, out of food service response, I'll just not think anything. I'll just throw it away because I'll see, okay, how can it be any good? It's from 2013. Because I'm going to think, what did she find it in the freezer and pull it out and hope it's good and give it to my wife to eat?
Yeah,
but
your mother-in-law
would be. No, she wouldn't. But, I mean, it's just my nature. You know, if there's no date on it, you throw it out. If in doubt, throw it out. And if there is a date on it, and it's... Because I've actually worked in a place where we got venison steaks to do for a party, and I'm just, like, kind of joking with the chef. I'm like, Steve, come here. I just want to make sure I'm not a moron here. This is like 96 butcher date. I have to be wrong on that. He goes, no, this is 1999 and that's a 96 butcher date. That's like almost four-year-old venison steaks. And he called up the purveyor and went AWOL. Because we needed it for a party. We didn't have it. It's not like you can go to your local grocer and say, yeah, we need some venison steaks. Especially when you get them from Chicago Game and Gourmet. And it was a purveyor problem, and they got rid of that purveyor. And so, but it's just one of those things. Chicago Game and Gourmet has always got great stuff whenever I've used them. And
I have a little thing because you're talking about what the EMTs. Never let someone put fear in your heart to help somebody or to ask for help. I found out my boss that I've worked for almost 2 years was told for most of that time, oh, if you look at him wrong, you can talk to him. And this is the owner of the company I work for that, you know, you'll get fired. He doesn't talk. And he's in his 60s. He's a man that when he's on a mission, he gets this look on his face where he's on a mission. He's thinking. He's trying to remember what he's doing. And he does have a stern expression, but he's the friendliest man I know. He does a charity for at-risk kids in our thing, and he's helping one of our employees at work who just turned 20. I'm not going to get into her personal story. She was an at-risk kid who fought on her own, had a job, her own place, and is fighting, and her parents, one left her, well, both left her because one was on drugs. The guy left the kids with this, with a ex-wife, and the ex-wife raised them as her own. She's unsurmountable odds, and he's taking care of her. He found out today or yesterday about her situation. He's going to help her get speech therapy, all kinds of stuff. He's helping her out.
Wow.
Don't let fear rule you.
That's amazing. And I she brought up something that I wanted to talk about, and I think I did last week. My producer probably know more about this than I do, because she remembers, she's got a great memory. But this guy was in his car or whatever, and this dude walks by and he goes, "Bleep you, F you, and F your white privilege and all this crap." And he gets out of the car and he goes, "Well, by white privilege, do you mean the fact that my dad left me when I was 2 years old? And my mom raised me, and I thought I was the reason why my dad left. When you mean by white privilege, do you mean that my mom had to work like 3 jobs just to try to support us, and we half the times did without? Do you mean white privilege where I had to go here and go, and I was going from school to school, and I was bounced around, and I felt like no one wanted me, no one cared about me, this and that? And by the time they were done, not only did they understand where each other was coming from, they were hugging each other." And he goes, "If you need me, I'll be there for you. I'll help you. I'm not going to do stuff for you, but I'll help you. I'll be that person." We can all have the ability to affect change on somebody. You might be sitting there thinking, "What am I doing?" I remember one time, there were times where if I had a gun, I would have killed myself. And when someone came up to me and she goes, "You don't know how much of a lighthouse you've been in my hurricane. How much of a," I never would have thought what I was doing did anything. I am who I am. And I was having such an impact. I just do what I do. I don't care. If you like me, if you like this conversation, that's great. If you don't, great. I don't care. I want to help people. I want people to wake up and see the truth and see what's out there. Don't take my word for this stuff. Look it up. Lindsay Lohan has even gotten and said, "You know what? It's time to stop arguing, bullying, and bullying and doing all this crap. And it's time to start supporting Trump." You got to move on. If you think you have it so bad, go to North Korea, where you have one channel. The DPRK has one channel. It's all propaganda. Any book is nothing but books from Kim Jong-un, the dear leader, and he's created everything. And if you can, and if a tourist comes by and says, "Well, yeah, that tree being there disproves your whole story," what do? They cut down the tree or kill the person. Everything you read is about the dear leader. Anything you sing about is about the dear leader. Which is your favorite picture? They're all my favorite. "Oh, he's great. The dear leader is wonderful. Oh, he's everything. I have these clothes. I have because of the dear leader. If it wasn't for the dear leader, we wouldn't have clothes to wear because he invented it. Oh, the hamburger. Oh, thank you. You know, I get to go to the they have a pub and I get to have a beer every night. Thanks. You know, beer was created by the deer leader. Everything is created by the deer leader. Everything is the deer leader. And there is no... And North Korea keeps doing all these missile tests and missile tests. Trump is going to start doing stuff. Really, they've already talked to the, they've already given ultimatums to the UN that, you know, severe sanctions better come ASAP or we're prepared to take military action. And you're either with us or you're against us. Oh, I'd take in the North, in a heartbeat. I couldn't imagine what they've gone through. And they have a fear that they can read minds. There, you have no life. Okay, you're going to do this. That's what you're going to do. Go on YouTube and watch an watch the video. And I think it's where they go over there and a guy does eye surgeries. And he does eye surgeries for these people. And if they have glaucoma, he does their surgery because they allow it. They have to bring generators because even in the most generated part, even in the part of the country in Pyongyang where the people of the deer that are supporters of the deer leader get to live in privilege, which in privilege is like nothing can, you'd be like, okay, this is privilege. There's no internet. There's no this. There's no that. This is, you call this privilege? And when they're done, they're like, they go up to the picture. Thank you, Kim Jong-un. Thank you. I can see again. Oh, thank you, the deer leader. Thank you. They don't thank the doctor. They thank the deer leader. And the one lady, she's like, well, I don't know if they don't know any better. Or if it's just out of fear that, you know, you don't, everything is for the deer leader, no matter what. If you can walk, you thank the deer leader. If you're born, you thank the deer leader. If you're raped, you thank the deer leader. If you can eat, everything you have there, the deer leader invented, created, made.
Well, the kids have been in power for over 70 years.
Yeah. It's a Juje ideology, which means there is a person who is like Jesus Christ and he's who you worship. Using the Juje ideology in the United States would be like saying, okay, Donald Trump is our president, and when he dies, he still runs the country. Whatever he put in place back then still reigns today. You'll have a huge trophy of him, statue, and you, on his birthday, everything closes, and you go and, or if it is open, you have to go by law to the statue and put flowers to praise the deer leader. Anytime you come to visit the country, your first stop is at the big statue and you praise the deer leader and you put flowers down. And you know, and Donald Trump would be our leader even after he dies. I mean, his son may take over, but he is technically still in charge. It's just weird. But wow. I just about had a heart attack when Lindsay Lohan was getting said, hey, it's time to get behind Trump. You know, see what he's gonna do. If it turns out to be good, great. If it doesn't, you know, call a spade a spade. If he does something that helps this nation, great. I never thought he would, but hey, I'm Lindsay Lohan. But hey, since he's doing something that's working, wonderful. If it's not, you know. Okay, folks. I want to get into this because, wow, this is the $1 million news, folks. As I want to get into, we got about 5 hours because this is an extended version of the conversation. I got about 4 hours of the Premier League I'm going to talk about. and it is about Manchester United, of course, as they have been bought. They're going to be sold off, and they're going to become a MLS team in Lafayette, Indiana. Just kidding, folks. But there is, I mean, we really haven't done much signing. No one really has. Because, I mean, like, okay, we got not too many days, and but I think it's July 10th. We're going out on, they're going out on the U.S. tour. You know, we got to do something. But then when you think about it, though, the positives, Chelsea really hasn't signed anyone. Man City really hasn't signed anybody. Liverpool has signed, and Arsenal, I think, has signed. But that's about it. Not many people have signed. But there's evidence there's about... So you all understand. Wayne Rooney is sentimentally... I love the guy. I love him sentimentally. I do, but... Is he at Manchester United caliber player right now?
Yes.
I would say no.
I would say yes.
But, and there's a 70% chance that he is going to go back to where he started in Everton. So, we don't, and that's, this is all speculative. There's evidence that the United £70 million deal for Morata has been rejected. There's evidence that he's actually coming. Whether they did a counter offer, we're not sure. But I guess, I mean, 28-year-old Perisic for £50 million, he's not worth £50 million. He's not that good of a player. £30 million, £25 million, okay, I could see that for a 28-year-old, but he's not worth £50 million, and that's what they want for Perisic. I mean, I've heard that they're talking possibly that Manchester United could look at possibly getting Lukaku from Chelsea, but there's rumors that, and these are from legitimate sources, that it's upwards of £100 million, and I would not mind having Lukaku, but not for £100 million. To me, that's too much. £70 million, I would feel comfortable paying. But not £100 million. He's a decent player. But yeah, but you got to look at it from four factors. It's been since February, since Mourinho said, here's my list. I want these players. Get me these players. And we haven't really had many signings, but no one really has. But Mourinho wants these players so that they can be out on the U.S. tour where it's kind of like fun. Where they can be out there, and some of the games are going to be so hot. I have unlimited substitutions so that people don't collapse. But you're going to be able to have, at the same time, they're going to be able to stay in hotels with the guys, get to intermingle with the guys, okay? See how they brush, see how they eat, see how they shower, see how they and interact with them. Sort of like the one of my all-time favorite movies, Hoosiers. Okay, think of them like chewing gum. At the end of the game, I want to know what flavor he is. Yeah. Dentine. They can interact and okay, let's move them around. Let's see. Oh, let's get them to mesh a little bit with the team before. It's instead of having them try to gel and mesh with the team on actual points games, where these are actually games that count towards the regular season. You know, this like US tour is sort of like the pre-season. That way they can train some and work out and get some experience. Now, I love watching like the United Stand and talking about all the transfer news and this and that. But in the end, I'm one of those people that's like, you know what? If he comes, if we get Lukaku, we get him. If we don't, we don't. If we get Morata, you know. Because I've heard that even Who is it? Cristiano Ronaldo is going to make some information and make some news. So who knows? I think he's just going to be more of, guess what? I might want to leave Real Madrid again. Now, I don't think anyone's going to fall for that anymore, you know? Unless, I mean, if he seriously said, okay, yes, I have cut my ties with Manchester United and I'm going somewhere else, okay, then we know that, okay, yeah, you're leaving. If Ronaldo says, okay, I'm cutting ties with Real Madrid, I'm looking for a new club, and it comes out of his mouth in a press conference, okay, there you go. Then United can say, okay, let's put $150 million bid in him for 4 years. We'll make triple that in shirt revenues and all that. But until he comes out and specifically says, I think I don't even trust anything he says anyways. Because I think it's just like, well, I'm just going to sit back and see what happens when I say I want to leave Real Madrid. But hey. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You got about 2 minutes left in the program, just over that, folks. And it's just amazing. I actually watched over the weekend, they had the Daytona Spring Race. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won, of course. And, of course, I still have my dislike for that stupid segment race crap. Because thank God they don't have that in IndyCar or Formula One, because I'd be like, okay, Formula One, I'm never watching another race again. I don't understand. I don't know. I mean, is this and these like segments are like a little break? Are they going to start having that now? Like when the okay, folks, in the segment, you're going to have 3 minutes to get out of your car and go pee. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, just look at the stands. Like last year before this, it was sold out at the 500 just because it's the 100th anniversary. With 60 seconds left, the Brickyard, I was watching from Michigan because I was there for that week and we had a wedding, so I can't go. But there were sections of seats that had advertisements in it, like a big banner, because no one's going. You know, they are now doing everything at these stadiums where the tracks are to try to get people to come because they're losing. Where back in the day, okay, they were expanding the tracks to put more seating in. So something's got to give because NASCAR, I think, is going. And I think you're starting to get some more people at IndyCar. I think they're starting to grow. And with that, folks, with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge fortunes and our sacred honors. Till tomorrow or Friday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.